Hey, good evening. Hi. My name's David, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey, it's nice to be here tonight. I'm not used to speaking in front of a big crowd, so, bear with me if I get a little lost here tonight. It's really an honor to be here to share my experience, strength, and hope tonight. Not in a million years did I ever think I'd be at this lectern, talking about, alcoholism. This is a special place for me. This is where I made my beginning. This is where I got my life back, and I'm passionate about it, and it's an amazing thing. I found out on Thursday that I'd be speaking tonight, and Thursday's kind of a busy day, and I'm up here with a couple of my old roommates from Shoemaker, and it's crazy. Thursday, we have home groups in my area, and the home group is, we have this big book study group called There Is a Solution, and the meeting was at my house Thursday night, and, by the time everybody gets out of there, we kind of shoot the bull after the meeting's over, and, I got everybody out of there, and I was out in the driveway talking to my sponsor, and my wife and my daughter were coming back from walking the dog, and my daughter was riding on her little scooter, and I was sitting there with standing there with my sponsor, and, they're laughing, and, the dog's smiling, they're smiling, and he looks at me and he goes, that's the promises of this program. It was a shattered house before I came up here and before I went into Alcoholics Anonymous. She used to shudder when this guy, my daughter did, when this guy who's now my sponsor had come around. She just knew that there was trouble going, and that was a special thing. We got my daughter to bed, my wife and I. We were up in my office, and I pulled out the book, and, I went to How It Works, and, they tell you in How It Works, our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. And I told my wife, well, that's what I got to do. And she goes, well, you can get two-thirds of that done. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, I don't think you remember, what it was like. And, I told her she'd been drinking too much of that Al-Anon Kool-Aid, and she better cut it back to just two cups a day, And then I reminded her that I wasn't even an alcoholic till I married her anyhow, so. Hey, nothing could be further from the truth. I'll tell you that straight up, but, that's bullshit. Excuse me, that's bull crap. I was a stone cold alcoholic at a very early age. So we sat there and we reflected about what had happened. I walked in here a broken man on September 13th, 2003, and, I was coming apart at the seams. This stuff had done a thorough job of kicking my butt. And, it's only been a year and a half. And we were talking just how unbelievable it's been. That's my message tonight. You guys can recover. You can recover from alcoholism and drug addiction. I mean, that's a promise. If you do the work, you will get better. It's, you're looking at a guy right here that could not drink. Not in a million years. So we're sitting there, we're reflecting, and it's about 11 o'clock and the phone rings. And we're having a good time. I mean, this is happy times. This is, we're sharing joy together. And, 11 o'clock, there's nothing good happening when the phone rings at our house at 11 o'clock. There was a couple guys AWOL for the home group, so I figured maybe it's one of them. And, I answered, and it wasn't. It was this woman that my wife's working with, and I could hear this gal crying on the phone, and I could hear the kids in the background, and I could hear the husband, screaming, who the hell are you calling right now? It just brought back to me, here it is 11 o'clock, she's got a couple little kids, and, she's reaching out for help, and he's screaming, and it just brought back all the chaos and carnage that was part of this disease. I mean, this disease is absolutely brutal. It wants to kill you. It wanted to kill me. The collateral damage is—it's astronomical. It might be tolerable if it just killed us. We're killing our wives, our sons, our daughters, our husbands. Everybody around us—our mothers, our fathers. It's absolutely brutal. So my wife goes and takes the call, and I thought about what she said. I'm real good at selective memory. I'm real good at. Dressing up the story of what it used to be like, to my benefit. I want everything to my benefit. I want what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. I like to remember it the way I like to remember it. I'm real good at justifying and rationalizing anything I do. So
It's something. I have something here that, you know, I'll let her tell you what I used to be like. You know, we'll get an honest opinion. My counselor's also here, and a couple other people that know exactly what I'm all about. So I don't have any fanciful stories for you tonight. You know, because they'll call me on my shit. And you know, this is a thing they send out to concerned people, husbands, wives. You know, I don't know who else. You know, my wife gave me a copy of it. She made a copy. She didn't leave many blank spots, you know. So, you know, it says type of chemical problem, alcohol and drugs, you know, pattern of use, continuous and progressive. That's my drug use. Pattern of alcohol use, continuous and progressive. Duration of alcohol problem, 20 years. She knew me for 20 years. I was a full-blown alcoholic at the age of 17, I'm convinced. Duration of drug problem, 20 years. I mean, this is beautiful here. Describe patient's attempt to stop chemical use. And she checked self, and then she checked Alcoholics Anonymous with the footnote that I attended only to pacify others. And I didn't really attend that much. I went to a couple meetings here or there throughout our 14-year marriage. I had two brothers that sobered up in Alcoholics Anonymous, and there was a lot of guys at work where I worked that had sobered up in Alcoholics Anonymous, and people have been trying to help me. I will tell you in no uncertain terms that if you're going to try to do this to pacify others, you're wasting your time. Was the patient advised by a physician that chemical use was injuring his or her health? Yes, it is liver enzymes, high blood pressure, bloating, weight gain, diagnosed with depression. You know, no crap, I was depressed. You know, it's brutal. Does the patient stop participating in social events? You know, we haven't really participated in social events because David's drinking. You know, I'm holding these people hostage. You know, she ain't gonna go anywhere with me. You know, has the patient shown a loss of interest or participation in family activities? In the last few years, David's drinking has become so severe that he would drink by himself at our lake home. Family activities went around his drinking. We would not see him for days while he drank. I didn't come home. My father was a drunk, and, you know, I didn't want my daughter to see it. That didn't prevent it from, you know, affecting her. You know, I'd go to work on Monday morning. Sometimes I wouldn't come home until Friday. And, you know, I didn't think that was unmanageable. You know, this is the kicker here. Here's my triggers. This is beautiful. My trigger list. You got to love this, you know. Stress, she writes. Job, not enough sex. Nice weather. Out in the boat. Bad weather. Boredom. Had a bad day at work. Had a good day at work. Vacations to cope. Fun. Hungover. Yeah. No excuse needed. He just drinks. You know, I'm the real deal. I'm the guy on page 21. I'm a real alcoholic. My trigger was that I woke up every morning. You know, there's and that's the honest to God's truth. You know, and I mean, and I can look back and laugh. I'm not that serious, but I mean, it's, you know, I picked up that phone on Thursday night and listened to that woman with those poor kids crying in the background. Her husband screaming at her to get off the phone. You know, I mean, this is sick stuff. But, that was it. Three parts of this, the body, mind, and the spirit. You know, I had an internal condition. You know, don't get me wrong. Alcohol was unbelievable. Alcohol worked for me for a long, long time. You know, alcohol took care of all that stuff. I started drinking when I was about 13 years old. And, you know, it took care of the anxiety. It took care of the fear. It took care of whatever depression. Square peg trying to go into a round hole. You know, alcohol worked, and it worked great. Drugs worked, and they worked great. You know, I'm mainly an alcoholic, but once you get drinking, there's not a drug I ain't going to take. So, you know, but the stuff worked, and it worked great. You know, it took care of that internal condition. It medicated the spiritual malady for a long time. You know, I won't get into too much of the rest of this. I will get into some of this family stuff. They ask her about family problems. I feel isolated from my family, you know, from her family's in California. We can only see them once a year, and every time I go out to California, David goes on a drunken binge, and I got to come home. You know, I'm tired of trying to hide and cover up our problems at home. You know, I'm killing her. You know, I'm holding her hostage. That's what I'm doing. If I want to look at that honestly, you know, I'm holding this, but she's a human being. I have no right to do that to anyone. But I'm so full of selfishness, and I'm the only one I care about. I don't give a shit about her. I think she's overreacting. You know, I'm just a guy's guy. I just like to go out downtown and have some fun, you know. I will not go to any social activities with David. I hate vacations and holidays. I feel I cannot go see my family because something always happens at home with David. I do not like social events because I worry the whole time about David. David, 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 David. So that's the only person I was thinking about. You know, she suffered from panic attacks. Her hair was falling out. She had anxiety. She couldn't sleep. Weight loss, weight gain, eczema, migraine, shaking. You know, she felt that God was punishing her for something. You know, it's hard not to cry. She felt that God was punishing her. Because I'm a sick frickin' drunk and I won't do anything about it. I don't have the courage to do anything about it. I knew there was help out there. My brother got sober in 1975. In 1978, almost the same dates I came walking in here. I came walking in here September 13th, 2003. On September 14th, 1978, my brother did, and my parents did a little intervention on me. I was 17 years old. I was a senior in high school. They took me to Lutheran General, which was a 28-day inpatient treatment in Park Ridge, Illinois. You know, Elton John went there. It was, you know, these highfalutin joints. I don't remember anything from it. You know, since I've sobered up, I've been over there to that hospital to bring in, some of our fellow guys to bring them in there over to detox. And the treatment center's closed because these insurance companies aren't paying for this anymore because people come in and out and in and out and in and out and they're sick of it. You know, so most of these treatment centers are closing. And the only thing I remember is my roommate looked at me, and he's probably a guy about my age. He goes, "What are you doing here?" You know, I've thrown up more than you drank. And I'm going, "Right on, partner. That's right where I, you know. Yeah, what am I doing here? You know, I'm 17. You know, I couldn't take the first step when I was 17. I'm powerless over anything when I'm 17. So, I mean, this is what I used to be like. You know, I'm not going to really get into many more specific war stories. You know, we don't have much time left here. Here's the thing on war stories. You know, my own war stories never kept me sober. You know, I'll hear this at meetings. Remember your last drunk. Play the tape through. Hey, that didn't work for me. Remembering my last drunk never kept me from picking up another drink. I'm an alcoholic because knowledge of the fact that I have no control once I start drinking, it never stopped me from picking up the next drink. I knew what was going to happen when I picked up that drink. But I needed that sense of ease and comfort, brother, because I'll tell you what, at the end, when that stuff started working for me, all those internal conditions that it was treating, all that depression, all that fear, all that resentment, all that self-pity, all that anxiety, it doubled. This alcohol wasn't taking that pain away anymore. It was doubling that pain. I couldn't drink, and I couldn't not drink, and that's not a real good place to be. And my war stories aren't going to keep you sober. You know, scared straight, in my opinion, I've been out there in the trenches this last year. I don't think scared straight works. You know, I don't think I can scare you with my stories. So, you know, italicized on page 24 of the big book. It's a textbook. It's the whole, you know, it's 164 pages to finding God and getting your life back. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reason yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. Here's the kicker. Here's why my war stories aren't going to help you. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation even a week or a month ago. You know, I forget. If I'm not dead on Thursday, I'm roaring Friday night. You know, I don't care what just happened. You know, I got here a week late. I was supposed to be up here a week before I came. You know, I was full self-pity. I said, okay, I'll go to treatment, get me in. By the time she got up to our house in Wisconsin, I was drunk again. I wasn't going anywhere. You know, my brother-in-law and my sisters, they throw me in a car. I jumped out. I was going 20 miles an hour. You know, I ain't going there. You know, it's kind of funny. I didn't even spill my whole drink. I had a big 32-ounce plastic thing with about 20 ounces of rum in it. Yeah, no. Unbelievable. And I went home and thought I'd locked myself in our cottage. And next thing I know, I wake up and there's six sheriff's deputies there. You know, I told them that I didn't think it was a problem being drunk and stupid in my own house. I didn't think there was a law against that. But there's a law against making suicidal threats. Because at the end, Man, I was so close. I was a couple drunks away from 110 milligram Valiums, and I had them right in my house in a quart of rum. You know, you talk about an easier, softer way. I wanted to check out. You know, an easy way. So let's swallow the pills, drink the rum, night-night, you know. So no, they grabbed me. They gave me a breath test, 0.42, strap you down in the nice little ambulance ride up to Wisconsin, to Milwaukee, and, you know, I'm locked down in the psych hospital. And you know what I'm thinking about? I'm not thinking about my wife. I'm thinking, shit, I got to be at work tomorrow. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about me. What am I going to tell them this time? It's Monday, you know. So, you know, I got out of that place on Tuesday, and I'm going too long on this war story crap. Well, anyway, I got out of that place on Tuesday, and I came up here to get the heat off, you know. She told me on Tuesday, in no uncertain terms, I either made a decision to come up here and try to get better, or, you know, I could go beat feet. And I was afraid to go move downtown Chicago by myself. I didn't think I'd make it a few months. In fact, I was told by some people that suffer from this disease that I wasn't going to make it. So I came up here, and that's when I started getting better. You know, but I came up here because the burner was on. The heat was on. You know, I didn't have anywhere else to go. I was tired, man. I walked in this place. I was full of fear, anger, resentment. I was just beat up. You know, the stuff, you know, I'll thank alcohol for the fact that it kicked the defiance right out of me. You know, you guys are looking, people are in here, you know, thinking about this first step right now. You know, the first step's about surrender. It's not about compliance. If you're in here to pacify others, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your counselor's time. Just keep your mouth shut and don't hurt the guys that want to get better. You know, and I hope I'm not, you know, coming off too strong. You know, this is serious stuff. We're not joking around here. This is going to kill you. It wants to kill you. My alcoholism doesn't like meetings. My alcoholism doesn't like getting up at midnight to go over to drive to someone's house and try to help them, try to explain to them what alcoholism is about. Alcoholism is not about all my stupid stuff. Alcoholism is about control. You know, you want to qualify yourself. It's a bit to qualify myself. You know, I had guys that they took it from the book, More About Alcoholism. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. Control. It's not talking about whether I'm fixing and getting divorced. It's not talking about how many DUIs. It's asking me whether, once I start drinking, whether I can control how many I drink. That's what makes me an alcoholic or not. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. Page 30. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. Page 30. All of us felt at times we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. That's what it did to me. You know, I'll hear people at meetings, you know, say that their worst day sober is better than their best day drunk. That wasn't the case with this cowboy, I'll tell you that right now. My best day drunk was a lot better than my worst day sober. You know, I had some good times with booze, but the end of my drinking, it was no fun at all. So I come up here and I go through the motions, you know, and I dry out. Most importantly, I dry out. I get this crap out of my system for 30 days. I hadn't gone 30 days with some kind of mood-changing chemical in my system since I was 13. No, I'm not a Skid Row bum. I'm pulling down some big large downtown. I'm making some scratch. You know, I think I'm a big shot. I think I'm a functioning alcoholic. You know, I got a couple of houses. I'm taking nice trips. I got nice cars. I got money in the bank. It's a joke. That almost killed me. You know, if I wasn't self-employed, I would have lost a job 20 years ago. You know, so I came up here and I got, you know, I had a counselor that told me the truth, told me what I was. I was the real McCoy. I was a late stage chronic alcoholic, and it was going to kill me. And that it wasn't a joke, and that it wasn't about me. You know, everything was about me. You know, it was selfish, self-centered SOBs, you know, I wouldn't think about anybody else. So I came up. I did this thing half-assed up here, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, but I came in here and I listened, you know, and I listened for the similarities and not the differences. And I'll watch my time here. I ain't going to keep you guys too late. I listened to the similarities and not the differences. And I tell you what, the stories are all the same. You know, I didn't read this book when I was up here. But by the way, it's a good idea. It starts with the doctor's opinion, then it's 164 pages. It'll save your life. Well, I might want to read the thing. I mean, you're spending 20 grand to spend 28 days up here. And books, it's, I mean, 164 pages. You don't have to read the stories. It goes to right here, you know. I didn't read it when I was here. But, you know, you got to leave this place. I didn't get sober at Hazelden. Hazelden's special to me. I made my beginning at Hazelden. You know, I don't even think I entirely took the first step when I was here. You know, I went through the motions and I wrote some bullcrap four step and I went over and did some fifth step with some guy I'd never see again and, you know, whatever. I mean, it's how I've lived my whole life. I'm going to get better in 28 days. See, but you got to leave. I started getting scared. You know, I all of a sudden forgot what it was like to sleep. I'm sleeping now. You know, I'm getting three squares a day. It ain't bad. It's a pretty nice place. I go to some treatment centers in the Chicago area. I'll tell you what, you guys got a plush here. And so I got to go home. And I know some guys don't make it past that airport when they got to go home, and I'm scared. You know, and I changed my flight. I changed my flight till 6:30 in the morning. I get the first flight out of here. I got a flight out of here before any of those bars opened at that airport because I didn't think I'd make it by that airport. And, you know, I got home and I got home and I'm looking at a month's worth of mail and I'm looking out the window and there's an 8-year-old beautiful, innocent little girl out on the swing set and there's my wife watering some plants out on the deck and I'm thinking to myself, you're screwed. You know, what's it going to be this time? You know, is it going to be a week? Is it going to be 2 weeks? Is it going to, you know, maybe a month, tops. I'm telling you, maybe a month, you know. I'll tell you what I was real good at. I was real good at using my gifts. This is on the bottom of page 21. I was real good at using my gifts. I'm adding this of BS to build up a bright outlook for his family and himself and then pull the structure down on his head by a senseless series of sprees. That's what I was good at, you know. That's all I knew how to do, so... You know, at that point in time, I stood at the turning point, and I'll tell you what, I asked for his protection and care with complete abandon. I took steps 1, 2, and 3 in 20 seconds. 20 seconds. 1, 2, and 3. Although the next day, with my sponsor, we went and did step three prayer in a chapel. You know, I went back, I got a sponsor that, this is a guy I don't like. This guy's 12-stepping me, and I want nothing to do with it. You know, and how it works, it says even if the prospect wants nothing to do with it, if the family wants the help, you should offer it to him. Well, he offered it to my wife, and she wanted the help. So my wife starts going to Al-Anon about a year and a half, 2 years before I quit drinking. You want to talk about no fun? You get your wife getting better going to Al-Anon, and you're still out there, you know. But this was her fault. See, it was her fault. If she didn't make me sneak around and hide my bottles, if she just let me drink around the house, there's no problem here. You know, I mean, none of this is my fault. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to, you know, I'm a victim here. You know, what a bunch of crap. You know, just a bunch of bull crap. So this guy's my sponsor. I'm not a real big fan of this cowboy. And, you know, he comes over and he asks me what I want to do. I said, well, you know, I want to quit drinking. He goes, well, you take the alcohol out of you, partner, and you're left with the ism. I'm like, what's this guy talking about, man? I just want to quit drinking. I want this guy to quit coming around my house. I want this back the way I want it, you know. And, you know, we pulled out the book, and we read the book together. And, you know, he told me something here, you know, in the title page. He told me how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. He told me I could recover from this, you know. He told me I could get better. He promised me this. He told me that if I did all the work that I would, what was it? God, I hated it when he said it. He goes, you're going to be taken to a place that you didn't even know exists, partner. Like, what's this old frickin' coot talking about? I didn't know it exists. And I'll tell you what, he told me the absolute truth about that. I've been taken to a place in this I've been taken to a place, these 12 steps to God, I've been taken to a place that I didn't know existed. The obsession and the compulsion to drink alcohol and use drugs has been removed from me. I'm telling you, man, these guys, the body snatchers, these guys from AAs, I wanted nothing to do with them. That's what we called these guys. We called them the body snatchers. They're going to steal your soul at your lowest moment. Watch out for these guys, you know? you telling me? They ask her about my religion. David only goes to church for funerals or a yearly mass for his father. He has stated he doesn't believe in God. God? God had screwed me over my whole life. You kidding me? Now I'm going to ask God to help me get sober after the way I've been behaved? You know, I've broken every commandment except thou shalt not kill. Now, this is the guy that's going to save me. The guy I've had contempt for, you know, and I had a guy point out to me, used a good analogy. He goes, well, you know, what would you do if your daughter went to school today and brought a gun and killed 20 people? Would you still love her? And I said, yeah, absolutely, unconditionally. And he goes, well, God unconditionally loves you, so, you know, why don't you get out of the pity potty and start doing what you got to do? You know, we have alcohol. This is the foreword to the first edition. We have Alcoholics Anonymous. There are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. So I got home and I asked for his protection and care with complete abandon. And we started working these steps. And I didn't think it was going to work, but I figured I would do anything this guy told me to do for, you know, I don't know, 2-3 months. And if something happened, something happened. And if something didn't happen, I was just going to go out and try to blot it out as best I could. You know, because it was intolerable by that point. It was horrible, you know. And so that day he came over, when he asked me, I'm backtracking a little, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to quit drinking. You know, but, you know, he knows. And he goes, well, you know, there's a solution. Are you willing to go to, you know, he's qualifying me. He's asking me questions. Are you willing to go to any length? I said, yes. I'm not sure if I was, but I said yes, because I was scared that this guy was going to, you know, he's going to cause more trouble for me if I said no. And, you know, he asked me if, you know, I was willing to let go of my old ideas. If I was, you know, some of this Teflon would fall off of my brain and something other than my own, you know, self-satisfaction, something could get in there. And he goes, I'll promise you, you're going to be taken to a place. And I'll tell you what, he delivered. It was unbelievable. He also told me after that that if I didn't want to do that, I could go upstairs and pack a bag because my family didn't want me there anymore if I wasn't serious about participating in my own recovery. He told me to be a man, go up and pack a bag, and quit torturing these people. This is great stuff. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. Just pin a star on my ass. I just took a month off of work and came up here. Pin a star on my ass. You know, where were the little yellow ribbons when I got home? There were no marching band or anything. You know, you kidding me? Liquor stores were still open. My drug dealer was still selling drugs, you know. What's up with that? You know? I mean, getting shit. We're still finding half pints. I'll tell you. Empty half pints. I'm telling you, we are, you know. Yeah. Anybody but an alcoholic ever buy a half pint? What do you do with a half pint unless you're drunk? You know, I'd go in and buy 10 of them. You know? The guy look at me. He goes, hey, buddy, you can get the big bottle. Save $8. Hey, shut up, man. Come on, this is my money. Put those things in the bag. I got to get out of here, man. I got to go knock a couple of those things back. I got to get to that spot. You know, I don't know about you guys. I wasn't partying anymore, you know. You know, I was drinking. I needed to get to a place, you know. I couldn't live in my own skin. You know, once I put the stuff in my body, I had the allergic reaction that they talk about in the doctor's opinion. And I craved more. And when I didn't have it, I had the obsession of the mind. You know, where's that? Somehow, some way. Oh, yeah, that's great. Somehow, some way, I'm going to learn to control and enjoy my drinking like a normal person. I don't know about you cats, but if I had to control my drinking, I wasn't enjoying it. You know, so, you know, that was out for me. So, you know, I did the deal, you know. He told me the people that get better are the people that do the work. You know, there's a... You know, the first chapter is a doctor's opinion. There is a solution more about alcoholism. You know, they're qualified. They're asking you questions in there. You know, if you can read those chapters with honesty and it doesn't apply to you, you're not one of us. You know, I'm not telling anybody. You know, I don't think they make many mistakes when you check in here. But if you can read those chapters and they don't, you know, I read those chapters. I think this Bill Wilson's been following me around since I was 12. You know, I mean, it's uncanny. And, you know, he told me that God wasn't going to do for me what I could do for myself. See, I couldn't just lay in bed and cry in the morning, and I've been a victim my whole life, and God, please remove this from me. He told me I had to do some work. You know, this is a simple program, but it's not necessarily an easy program. There's stuff required of you. And, you know, he told me I had to take an honest look at myself in a fourth step. You know, and he told me I had to pray and try to change myself in step 6 and 7. And out of that four-step, I got a list for my A-step. You know, I said, I'd been hurting my fellows. I'd been stepping on their toes a little bit there. So I had to go out and make amends. And he told me that if I did that work, he'd guarantee me. You know, it says in there, rarely have we seen a person fail that has thoroughly followed our path. You know, everybody laughs at the statistics in AA, but, you know, these people haven't thoroughly followed their path. The people that I've seen that have come in here and have surrendered, have taken that first step and agreed to move on, they get better. And it's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. To watch someone come back from the dead is the greatest gift that I've ever been given. You know, and I'll tell you what, I had contempt for this book. Shit, I had one of these books when I was 17, you know. But it's unbelievable. I'm telling you, there is a solution. You can recover from this. I am not powerless over alcohol today. Okay? I am not powerless over alcohol today. That's the point of this book, We Agnostics, page 45. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, this might be key. Well, that's exactly what this book's about. Really? Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. I found that power, and that power, to me, is God. You can have your own God, your own understanding of God. But that's what saved my ass. Now, I found that power in God, removed the compulsion and the obsession to drink, and I got to follow some simple rules, and that will keep happening for me. You know, my life's not unmanageable today. You know, that first step's written in the past tense. We admitted we were, you know, do the work, and you can be freed from this stuff. This is the most manageable my life has ever been. I'm not trying to control every little thing in my life like I used to, but this is as good as it's ever been. I'll tell you what. I just want to read you a little something, and then I'll shut up, and everybody can get to going. This is a couple of paragraphs in the doctor's opinion, and I mean this kind of sums up the whole deal. God, do yourself a favor. If you do anything else up here, just go over to the meditation room, try to find a quiet spot, and read the book. It's 164 pages, man. It'll save your life. It will save your life. You know, you'll get taken to a place, I'm telling you. I've dreamed of it. Thought that old coot had drank too much AA Kool-Aid. Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect. And hey, I'm sorry, for you drug addicts out here, same deal. These steps work for that too. You can recover from drug addiction. You know, I should have been talking about that a little bit, but I'm kind of new at this. Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, right? They know it's kicking their ass. They're admitting it's injurious. They cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. It ain't normal. I flew up here with my roommate. We're sitting. We'd gotten upgraded to first class. We're coming from Chicago. We order a couple Diet Cokes. The guy in front of us, it's Friday afternoon, first class, drinks are free. He tells her, I'll have a gin and tonic. Easy on the gin. But what? We'll just get a tonic. Well, easy on the gin. I mean, it's a little airplane bottle they're going to put in there. Are you kidding me? Jeez. I mean, that's insane. To them, their alcoholic life... I mean, but that is sanity. See, I thought that was insane. You know, that's what suckers do. That's what I thought. I was a sucker my whole life till I came up here, till I found this program, till I worked these 12 steps, until I had a spiritual experience, you know. And it's unbelievable. They are restless. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented. That's the internal condition. You know, that's the disease of the spirit. There's a spiritual malady. Unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks, the obsession of the mind, drinks which they see others taking with impunity. Well, shit, that guy's doing it. Why can't I? Because you're a Once you put one in your mouth, buddy, you can't stop. And that's why you can't do it. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, the phenomenon, the allergy, of craving develops. They pass through the well-known stages of spree. I mean, this ringing any bells with anybody tonight? This guy's been following me around. Emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over. And unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope of his recovery. Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, this is the real deal, man. We got cancer. This is like a cancer. You're not up here for a 28-day vacation. If you are, you're going to go back, you're going to die. You might not die tomorrow, you might not die next week, you might not die next year. It will kill you. If you are an alcoholic or a drug addict, it will kill you. It usually kills the people around you too, the little kids and the moms and dads, and a lot of collateral damage. Here's the promise, man. This is beautiful. On the other hand, and strange as this may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the spiritual experience, the reason you work the 12 steps, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol. Easily able to control his desire for alcohol. That's the promise. That's the message I have for you tonight. That's an absolute promise. I'm telling you, I didn't believe in God. I thought the guys from AA were full of shit. I didn't believe in God. I thought it was a cult. I wanted nothing to do with it. I was full of it. The obsession, I could not drink. The obsession and compulsion to drink had been removed from me today. My life's unbelievable now. I still got the same chicken shit problems like everybody else. You know, I don't like waiting in line. The guy or the gal doesn't have the check written out. I'm at the supermarket. I don't like trash. You know, that's life. You know, that's life. Man. The only effort necessary being required to follow a few simple rules. That's what it's all about. You know, I walked in this place, I had no hope. I'm telling you what, man, I wanted to take the easy way out. I wanted to check out. I didn't think in a million years I could ever say, how do you take a vacation without drinking? I thought maybe I could stop drinking. I didn't think I could ever not drink and be happy and live a full and contented life. And I don't ever remember living a full and contented life until I found this, and I found God, and I found this program, you know. I can't even remember it. It had been so long since, you know, I started this stuff up when I was 13. But it's thanks for listening. I hope I was able to share with you. Thank you.